shut my 440 side down. Good morning, KD2, BOR. Do you have... Steve, I didn't get any of that.
Do you have any rain over there?
Little bit. It was, my car was wet when I came out.
Yeah, we have. By the city. Train here, it was,
Yeah, Steve. Didn't get any of that. I'll talk to you when you get home. No sense.
Oh, I got the cue up for that. Don't worry about it. KB2 TIA.
Connected. KB2 TIA.
Is this any better, Rock?
Yes, sir. No problem.
Yeah, I was saying, in the city, it was just a little mist. So, when I got off the train here, fairly moderate rain. A little bit of flooding here on the parkway.
I didn't even hear anything about rain. Although I didn't listen to much news yesterday, I didn't know it was supposed to rain or not.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either. It's supposed to clear up by morning, and that'll be good for me with my activities I have planned.
Very good. Hope it does clear up for you. 718, Seoul, 435.
Not bad. I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable, but not bad at all. Jim was telling me he saw a package deal. I think it was TS-120S or something like that, and the power supply, and it went for dirt cheap.
And a TS-120S, that's an older radio, isn't it?
Yes, it is. A little older than I'd like. I mean, I was looking at them for a while when, as a backup rig to my ICOM, but now that the ICOM's out of the picture, I, you know, didn't even think about them. Yeah, there's the 120, the 130, and the 140 are all pretty solid radios, though. I mean, older genre, but still good rigs.
Very good. KD2 BOR for ID. I wonder how Jolly made out with his, if he found anything out last night. He'll be on probably later this morning, but, you know, he's got the day off today.
Give me a minute, Rock. It's pretty slick over here. I want to get both hands on the wheel.
Yeah, that might be a good idea, Steve. Why don't you put it down till you get home? Watch the road. We'll talk to you when you get in the house. KD2 BOR.
Alrighty, I'm good. I'm back on the local streets. Just about less than a mile from home. So I'll pop out back later, Rock. I'm really not that tired, and I'm kind of excited about my activity for tomorrow. There's been lots of text messages going around today. So should be fun. I don't want to say too much on the air, but good hearing you're in there, and I'll pop back out in a little while. So, KB2 TIA.
Hey, very good, Steve. Talk to you a little bit later. KD2 BOR listening.
KB2 BOR, KB2 TIA.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I'm outside the home QTH now. I wanted to ask you a question. Sometimes when I'm, if I'm on one of those spiraling entrance ramps or exit ramps, my oil light comes on just for that few seconds. And is that a sign something's wrong, or is it just like centrifugal force?
That means the oil's moving, moving over to one side in the pan. I imagine this isn't a dumb question. You know how to check your oil on your car, right?
Yes, I do. Because I just had everything done. It just got a tune-up, and the fluid's changed. So I assume there should be the right amount of oil in there. It just happened in that instance. Otherwise, it never comes on. It's just on those entrance ramps and exit ramps, but it's, I just never remember it doing that before, and my wife told me it's been happening also. So, a funny question I wanted to ask you. I didn't mean to ask you for like a couple of days, and I keep forgetting.
Do yourself a favor later when you get up. Let the car sit. Pull the dippity stick out, wipe it off, and put it back in and see what you see. Just be on the safe side right now so we can think of something else, but you got to at least make sure there's oil in the car.
Okie dokie, no problem. I don't see any other signs of anything being wrong, you know. So I was just wondering if is it because the entrance ramps are, so tight and spirally, or... if there was a sign something wrong. But I'll check it out in the daylight. When I meet up with our mutual friends, that might be a good chance to check it too, so I have more than one head looking at the problem. All right, Rock, I'm going to pop inside. Who knows? I don't know if I should take a drive over towards Queens, if I should take a drive over to Hicksville, or our other friend. KB2TIA, 73 for now. KB2TIA, clear.
KB2TIA disconnected.
KB2TIA.
Hey, go ahead, Steve. KD2BOR.
Alright, got myself settled. Man, I got a whole bunch of cards from Route 66 thing. Guy sent me three cards.
Very good. I just found a Kenwood radio repair place in New Jersey. I sent the guy an email about my 850. I was just going to heck of it, ask him what his charges are to check it out, align it, and if I should replace the caps on the cardboard and stuff like that. I want to see what he has to say.
What makes you think it needs an alignment?
I'm not saying it does, but I was interested in his rates and in case of anything further down the line.
Okie dokie, I got you.
He's in Cape May County, at the tip of New Jersey, but at least that's a place in New Jersey. It seems like from his page that he's got a lot of experience. I was on the Gigaparts site also reading up on that SR8T. That radio seems like it's a pretty good radio. I guess you got your pros and cons with anything you buy, you know what I mean?
I watched a few videos on YouTube, and it seems all right. You know, it doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles. You know, it's very straightforward radio.
I tell you, Victor was right. The Mars cat bot on that thing, it looks very easy.
You know, for the price, just over $500, brand new radio, it is very tempting.
Well, you can't do much better than that unless you buy used. And it seems like what they're getting for these used radios is just ridiculous.
I got a request from a guy to join the group, but I have no idea who he is. And when I looked up the name on QRZ, I didn't come up with anybody. So when I just searched the last name, I came up with the name he used as a middle name, which could be the same person, but the person's in, like, Venezuela. So I don't think that's the right one. So I have no idea who this person is or who recommended them. And so maybe I'll send them a message.
Venezuela? Boy, this group is getting popular.
Do you have, if you open QRZ, I'll give you the name. You can search it.
Hold on, I'm opening it up now. Go ahead.
Okay, you see the box that says where you enter the call sign, and it says call sign underneath? If you click the word call sign, you can switch that to name/address. Do that, and then I'll give you the name.
Already there, Steve.
Okay, his name is Rich, R-I-C-H, Angula, A-N-G-U-L-A.
I came up with nothing.
Okay, because I was doing it on my phone on the way home. And so I was wanted to do it on the computer. I don't have anything going here right now. But, yeah, I don't know who that is. Now, if you take out the first name and just search for the last name, it pulls up a couple of people. One of the people at the bottom of the list, the middle name is Rich.
E-N-G-U-L, right?
A-N-G-U-L-A.
I'm not coming up with anything unless I'm doing something wrong.
Might have switched back to call sign. I gotta make sure that's still on name.
You go to name and put in that A-N-G-U-L, and then when I hit it, it said, it goes back or switches me back to call sign right away after I hit it. I don't know why.
Do you have an A on the end? It starts with an A, ends with an A.
Yeah, A-N-G-U-L-A.
Okay, I don't know what happened then. I was able to search names. Any case, one near the bottom of the list is it was a Yankee Victor call, and as I remember, I didn't look it up, but as I remember, I believe that's like Argentina.
Look stuff up. I go to the FCC database most of the time. I find it easier, but I don't know if that site's back up yet. It was down with the government shutdown. Another guy on eBay has got a 718. I don't know if it's got that DSP or whatever you call it module in it. Got the box, everything. 3 days to go. $380 it's at.
I hear it makes a big difference, so it's worth having, I guess.
Yeah, but this guy's shipping is ridiculous. $58.85 for Washington, state of Washington? That sounds like a lot of money.
It better be delivered by a naked model on horseback.
That sounds good.
I know, I see a couple of things sometimes. It has, you look at the price and you're like, wow, that's pretty reasonable. And then you look at the shipping, it's like $65, $75 shipping. You know, that's where they're making their money, and if you don't catch it, you've entered into a binding deal. But I think they should have to prove just what it's costing $75 there.
$75 shipping, I like him to bring it himself. Looking at this 2-meter amplifier on eBay, I haven't made a decision yet if I'm going to buy it. It's the last one the guy's got, brand new.
You got to make sure it's something of quality because it's going to splash all over the place. And, you know, maybe at the shop it won't matter so much, but you wouldn't want to use it in your residence if it's not good quality. They're supposed to have filters and stuff. That company in Italy, they churn these things out left and right. They don't have any filtering, and it's just splash boxes.
Well, that's the one it is, so I'll stay away from that. It got good reviews on EHAM, that I can tell you, but no, if it's going to be a splash box, I got the cab company right next door to me. I'm not interfering with their radio because they're not far from our transmitting frequency right here. We're on 146. They're either transmitting on, he uses two different frequencies. He's using a split frequency over there. Let me let it drop. He's using 152.300 and 157.560. So I don't want to have any problems with that either.
Honest to God, Rock, I was going to guess 152. Back my scanning days, I know it's a lot of cab companies and stuff would be in that range. There's two series. You'll notice that one is a lot more expensive. They have, I forget how you tell the difference offhand. You probably, if you do a search for the company, you'll find, there's two series. One has like a different letter. And that's the one that has the filters, and they charge you a lot more. And that's why they charge you more. The one without the filters is really meant for, you know, CBers and people in cars where they don't care who they're splashing and they're traveling. But to use it in your shop, I think you definitely would throw some interference into the cab company.
The only thing the cab company does to me when they transmit, say the repeaters, you know, you're talking, I'm listening to you. Sometimes then they, when they transmit, they knock my S feeder down a little bit, but I don't lose any of the transmission that I'm listening to.
Yeah, that's a normal occurrence with the proximity. You get that sometimes. It's like a desensitization. It's rejecting, you know, nearby signals, your radio, and it drags down the signal you're listening to also. That's a known thing. I'm not surprised by that. But that happens sometimes when guys run a lot of power and they're not even that near to you, but they're on an adjacent channel, and it drags down. You hear it sometimes when you hear people say, oh, you're 5'9 in the clear, you know, something like that. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, you learn something new every day. I'm still learning. Been in radio for a long time, not ham radio long, but like I said, every day you learn something new.
I forget the technical term. I think they call it desensitization. It's nearby powerful transmission is dragging down the signals you're copying.
If I did purchase this amp, I probably wouldn't use it in the shop anyway. I'd probably use it in the mobile, but then I gotta be, it only maximums 110 watts, 220 on SSB, 2 meters, but then I gotta run a heavier power cord inside the car, and you know, what's it? It's going to be double the wattage that I'm using in the car now if I'm on high power. I don't know if it would make that much difference. Maybe on Simplex, it would help out.
Now, I believe on VHF, when you go over 50 watts, you're supposed to do that exposure check and all that stuff. You know, making sure nobody's within the field of radiation of your antenna and all that stuff. That's another thing. So once you go over 50 watts, that becomes kind of a concern. You know, it's something you would want to look into.
I think I've read about that already. That's, probably was one of the questions, but there was stuff similar about keeping your, you know, if your station's interfering with people and stuff like that, what should you do and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah, under 50 watts is considered safe to be around, but I think it's over 50 watts, you know, you start getting into the gray area.
I gave a call for Carlos before. I don't know if he's monitoring or he might not even be on.
You know, that he mentioned I didn't see much activity from him on the group, and I didn't hear him on.
Yeah, he jumped in. It wasn't last night. It was the night before. He jumped in just for a little bit. I called him, but it was a little hard, you know, to hear him.
Yeah, I know. I spoke with him a couple of days ago. I gave him the number at my job, and he gave me a call, and we talked for a little bit. So he was filling me in on what happened. And so he was, you know, didn't want to jump into the fray there.
Seems funny not hearing Jolly out here at this time.
Got the plus three here. I have a Shure. And he gave me this other mic. It says Telex. CB73 double header Telex. And it's a weird looking microphone. It's army green, and it has what looks like a volume control on the back, and on the top there's a throw switch for noise cancelization. But the way the mic looks, I don't know if you can find one online. It's really an oddball looking mic.
Somebody's got a vintage Telex CB-73 clear case mic. Then I got a vintage old new stock. These all seem to have a clear plastic case on them. I don't know if it's the same mic.
Well, it has a little metal plate bolted to the front with four bolts. And then the words are actually molded into the microphone. It says, hold close to mouth. It looks like it's surplus military, the way the mic is made.
Is it gray?
I would say it's kind of a drab color, like a gray-green. It's really an oddball color. It could be gray, it could be green.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now. That's probably the one. Got a silver plate on the front. It says Telex, and it's got four bolts holding on, like you said.
Yep.
There's one on eBay. I'm looking at it right now. They also made it with a clear case, so you could see the parts inside.
Yeah, Charlie was like, you know, you can have it. So he threw it in with the mics I got from him. I'm just curious to know, what's it going for?
Well, the one that looks like what you're describing, without the clear case, new, old stock, in the box, got the paperwork, everything, the warranty card, the owner's manual. This guy wants to buy it now, $75.
That's crazy. I can't even get a good idea of what vintage this thing is. It could be 60s. It could be maybe as high as 1970.
On the top of it, does it have a switch on and off for noise canceling?
Yes, it does. And the PTT action is very strange. It's kind of like a trigger, and it slides in only at the bottom, like as you gotta like pull the key in. It's not like you push the torque, it's more like you're pulling the torque.
Yeah, I see that. That's weird. I see the push to talk on it. This guy's got a bunch of close-up pictures of it.
Yeah, if it's worth $75, I'm going to give it back to Charlie, you know, if he didn't realize that.
This guy here's got $75 or make offer. I didn't click on the offers. They don't show you the offer. It just says if it was accepted or declined. If it was accepted, it'd be sold already. Or it would just say declined. That's about it. I'm looking to see when it was made.
Yeah, Charlie has an 8-pin connector on it, and I don't have anything to try it with, unless they change the connector for something.
In my whole 11-meter days, I have never, ever seen one of them.
Either have I. I mean, I wouldn't say I have an extensive knowledge of microphones from then, but, you know, I have a decent passing knowledge. But I've never seen this mic either, not even at Hamfest or anything. That's what made me think it might have been like Army Surplus or something.
Can't find anything on it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's because like in the light, it looks like a very like Army green type color, you know. And then if you tilt it and move it around a little bit, it looks gray.
Yeah, the picture is on eBay made. That's why I said gray before. I couldn't tell, you know, when they're using these cameras, it's hard to tell. They got a Telex CB wiring microphone owner's manual online.
You know, maybe they'll say when it was printed, and you'll have an idea of when the mic was made. I'm kind of curious now to know when this was made, because it's kind of bizarre, you know. Then in the back it says weight half a pound, 0.5 pounds. It's so strange. Like, why would you have that on the microphone? How much it weighs?
This manual was just a thing on eBay that somebody's selling.
I like when I come across little oddities like this, though. Member of Irmar, he had put up pictures of an antenna, and I found out what it was. And that was like, it looked like a Frankenstein antenna with that steel plate with bolts and those, you know, square, you know, what do you call it, ground plane-like thing on the bottom, and it came up, and then I was looking around at some vintage antennas and I found it.
I just found this one site, what they're saying under it, the Telex CB73, early aviation true noise canceling microphone, popular noise canceling mic for early CB radio. They use a 7-volt battery.
Okay, that explains the price. You know, it's like aviation history then. I can see why somebody would want this to complete, you know, a restoration or something like that. But very good, Rock. It's good to know. I think I'm going to give it back to Charlie, though, when I see him.
82BOR. I went into my little shack in the garage yesterday at Debbie's house, and I found my D104 that is spotless, immaculate, because it was at her house, and a RG8 jumper cable. I said, how did this end up out here? Because it was on top of her speaker in the den where the Cobra 2000 used to be. She goes, get rid of that mic. I don't want it sitting here anymore.
Piece of history. KB2TIA in the group here. Well, in the group. With the KD2POR, KB2TIA. Very good, Rock. All right, I'm getting a little tired here in Philly, so I think I'll say 73 for now. I got kind of a big day planned tomorrow, and I want to be somewhat fresh for it. Joe is going to meet us also, me and Jim, so it should be fun.
Very good. Yeah, I got that on your text. No problem. Good luck. Have fun, and hope the weather clears up. 82, BOR, 73.
Yeah, I'm bringing a 10-meter vertical. I'm bringing in a 20-meter delta loop right now, but it can easily be converted by chopping some off. And also, I'm bringing a inverted V, and I have about a 20-foot aluminum, PVC mast. And so I'm going to hang the inverted V from that and tether it with twine, the ends, to two bricks. So it's going to be an adventure, you know. Operating portable is always fun, and you never know what's going to come up, and trying to make it all work and using a little ingenuity sometimes. And sometimes a little luck. That's what makes it a lot of fun. So Jim's coming, he's bringing equipment, and I don't know if Joe's bringing anything, but he has an appointment in the area where we're going to be, and so he said that he would join us. KB2TIA, 73 Rock, have a good night.
Okay, Steve, 73, have a good time. KD2BOR.
KD2BOR, KB2TIA.
Go ahead, Steve.
I shut everything off and I just turned it back on. I mentioned it in the text message to you. If you want the Antron, it's all yours, buddy. With those clamps that were in the box, you could probably hook it up to your shack, to your work QTH. If you got a place to stick it there, I'll just give it the Antron. It's all yours.
Yeah, very good. Just hang on to it. I appreciate that. Well, maybe if you see Charlie, it's going to be kind of tough for in his car. We'll have to hook up. He won't be able to carry it out in his car. We'll hook up, yeah. I'm going to take the antenna. We'll figure out something to meet up.
Okay, no problem. I only got three radials, so I'm missing a radio. When it fell down after Sandy, one of the radials broke. But it has three radios, and it still worked okay. I put it back up. Everything was working fine. Charlie said with the missing radio, it might have slight directionality, he thought. But who knows? If worst comes to worst, you could just take one off, and it'll just put two of them on there or come up with something. Some people say they replace them with a hamstick, so you could do that also. But it's all yours. But even without the radials, it worked fine. So, all right, 73, I'm going to bed. KB2TIA, I'm gone for good.
Okay, just before you leave, I gave Charlie three radials from my old 99 that I had on the roof here, and it came down. If I was had to get a radial back from him, I could. 73, 82, BOR.
All right, excellent. Good night, Rock. KB2TIA, I'm clear. Thank you.